Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
From Colossians 3, 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk with your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Today we're going to address the topic, how to know you are a believer. Now if you remember, last week we talked about how to become a Christian, how to know you're saved, how to become saved. This week we're going to talk about evidences that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how to be sure of that. And some people doubt their faith sometimes. They say, I'm not sure, am I really saved? And so we're going to give you some things that will give you an indication on that. I think that would be helpful, because the Holy Spirit came to live. If you came to accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. And when the Holy Spirit came to live within you, some changes should have occurred. And this is a way to know that God is in control of your life. So today we're going to look at four signs or indicators that the Spirit of God lives in me or lives in you, and I can be confident that I am a child of the living God. The first one is, I sense the presence of God. Now, I want to note that our faith is not based on feelings. It's based on facts. I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised to save me. He always keeps his word, and I'm saved if I've legitimately did that. But how do I know? What are the signs that I've legitimately did that? And I want you to note that even though our faith is not based on feelings, our convictions bring certain behaviors and certain results, and they are indicators that I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Romans 10:9 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So I've come to hear about Jesus. I said, I want to believe in Jesus. I put my life in his hands. Lord, forgive me. Make me a member of your family. And so that takes place. But it all is an issue of faith. And faith produces certain behaviors in our lives. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, when that conviction comes and that confession is made, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself, notice this, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, we'll see in this message that there are clear signs or evidences that the Spirit of God lives within us. And the first is, I have been changed. I can sense the presence of God. But also, convictions result in actions. If I believe something, I respond accordingly. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now notice what happens. The old passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 8:9 says it this way, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Notice this next line. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. A very important issue. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to him. Romans 8:14, for we are all led by the Spirit of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So the Spirit actively is involved in my life, and it brings results. The Spirit of God brings results in my life. It brings behaviors in my life. It brings convictions in my life. I should say he, because he's the third member of the Trinity. Do you sense the leading of the Spirit in your life? Do you sense God working in your life? And one way to know is the internal sense that God has taken you into his family. I belong to God. We sing the song, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. The Spirit of God has come to live within us. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I don't have to worry about my eternity, my salvation. I've accepted Christ. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the word Abba is an Arabic word. It means father, or more likely, daddy. So we say, Daddy, Father. And we're in relationship with God because of what Christ did on the cross. And we can say, Daddy, Father. And we have that sense that we belong to God. We are his children. So the first thing that really happens when you accept Christ is you begin to discover that you can sense and know the presence of God. But the second thing that takes place is this. I study the Word of God. In other words, I want it in my heart. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. When I accepted the Lord, then I got a longing to learn something about him. Where is it that I learn about the Lord? It's the Word of God. So I get this longing, and that's a very, very important thing. Now I want you to notice the next word in this verse, in 1 Peter 2:3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If is a little word with a big meaning, and simply means this. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, he has become your Lord and Savior, there ought to be some indication in your life. The first one, the Spirit comes to live within you. The second one is your behavior. Your life is redirected, has changed, because God now controls my life. And as a result, I see things differently and I respond differently. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. Now, when we come together on Sundays, we sing songs and we worship and we allow the Lord to touch our hearts. But during the whole course of the week, you know, the Bible tells us that we should be singing psalms and hymns. And you know, you can do that all the time, every time. Some people tell me they have trouble sleeping. And I say, well, when you have trouble sleeping, sing to the Lord. And now I do that every night, and I don't sing out loud because I don't want to interrupt my wife sleeping. However, I lie in bed and I go through a hymn, or I go through a scripture verse in my mind, and I find that instead of complaining, oh, I can't go back to sleep, I fall back asleep. because the Lord gives me grace. And so start memorizing a verse at night and start singing a song, oh, how I love him, or something like that, or how great thou art, whatever it might be. Quietly usher that in your heart and your mind, and you will be surprised the peace of God that will come over you as you do that. Psalm 119 is a good psalm to read about the word of God, and it's a long psalm, but let me just give you a couple of verses on this. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Now let me ask you a question. If you don't know the word, how can you guard your heart? It's the word of God that directs me and instructs me about what God wants in me and how I should live my life and how I should be pleasing to him. So I have to put the word of God in my heart. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Now, it's kind of interesting. We can seek a lot of things. Today, we all walk around with this little thing we call a phone or a tablet, whatever you're using. And they have a lot of goofy stuff on it. I don't know if you know that or not. You can find all kinds of weird stuff on that. But you also can find the Word of God. You can download. My wife and I listen to a devotion every night that comes from a Bible college, and we just flick it on and they read it to us and then we pray together. You can do that. You can let the Word of Christ get into your mind, and you've got that wonderful tool. But don't use it to just do all kinds of junky stuff. Use it to bring the Word of God into your life. Put a Bible on it. I've got a number of translations of the Bible on my phone. If I want to look up a verse, and I can look it up and it'll be helpful to me. If I want to share that verse or do anything, I can do it. I've got it all at my disposal. And it says, we can put the Word of God, let it go in our hearts. When I was a washing machine mechanic, which goes back ancient times, but in those days we had cassette players. Anybody remember those? And some of these older folks, right? Bless your souls. Here's what I used to do. I could drive and I could listen to the radio, but most of the radio stuff is stuff I don't want to hear. So I would take a cassette tape and I would record Bible verses on it. And while I was driving the car, I'd have fresh batteries in it. I'd turn that cassette tape on and I would learn verse after verse after verse after verse, because I'd hear them play over and over and over again. And I could learn those verses and hide them in my heart. This is what God wants us to do. That then allows the Word of God to direct my life. So how can, it says in Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. You can't do that unless you know the word. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've got to know his commandments, not to wander from them. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we memorize the word of God. And if you don't know the word of God, you can't walk in victory. And so you put it in your heart so that you can remember it. Psalm 119:12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. So if you belong to Jesus and Christ has changed your life and you've put your life into his and you say, I want him as Savior, then it's going to affect you. And one of the ways it's going to affect you is you'll develop a hunger for the Word of God. Every day when I get up in the morning, I pull out my Bible. Now, I have a Bible about this thick, because my eyes need that giant print. And so I pull out the Bible and I read one chapter in the Old Testament and one chapter in the New Testament. I don't have to read the whole Bible. My day gets busy like yours does. But every morning I read one chapter in the Old Testament, one chapter in the New Testament. When I finish the New Testament, I go back to Matthew. When I finish the Old Testament, I go back to Genesis. And I just read them and read them and read them and read them. You know what happens? It becomes part of your life. It becomes part of you. And you become familiar with Scripture. You compare Scripture with Scripture, and you know what God is saying. Let me say this. If there is no interest in the Word of God, that might be an indication that you truly don't believe. If you truly believe, don't you think it should affect your life? Don't you think it should direct your life? And so if I believe, then there's an investment there. And some of the most difficult words in the Bible were spoken by Jesus. And this is important. Listen to what he said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But notice this next line. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. How do I know the will of the Father? The Word of God. I hide it in my heart. It's part of my life, and that's an important thing. Now, works don't save me, but here's what they do. They demonstrate my faith. Listen to what James says in chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith. Notice this, by my works. If you not have even a basic appetite for the Word of God, if you have no desire to study it and learn it and pray, you might ask yourself, am I really in Christ? Do I have that security? On the other hand, if you have that, man, I want to read the Word of God. I want to learn about God. I want to grow in grace. That's a good indication of the Spirit of God working in your heart and leading you in the way He would have you go. Hebrews 5:12 says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. And what he's saying is, if you're a believer in Christ, you should be growing. You shouldn't be stagnant. You should be growing. And he says in verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. Now, there are baby Christians. Someone just comes to the Lord. They only know so much. But let's say you've claimed to be a Christian for 10 years. Do you think you should know more than you did on day one? There should be a growth process, shouldn't there? We should grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do I do that? I read the Word of God. I listen to messages. I talk to other believers. And I grow in grace and I mature in my life. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, to those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. We all have the same amount of hours every day. And so I have to make up my mind that I'm not going to lose all those hours. I'm going to spend some of those hours investing in learning the Word of God. Yes, there are cardinal Christians, but they are the ones who live in doubt and failure. And so many Christians that don't read the Word of God, don't pray, don't fellowship, they're in doubt and they're in failure. Why? Because they're not feeding on the right thing. But if you feed on the Word of God, you will have the confidence that God is your Savior and that you know Him personally and He knows you. So first, I sense the presence of God. My life has changed because I've accepted the Lord. I study the Word of God. I want to know what it says. I want to be able to live what it says. In the difficult day, I want to call on a passage that will help me and guide me and lead me. I want to know those things. Next, I seek the things above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds, make up your mind is what he's saying. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, I've died to the old nature. I'm now living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's one of the indications of that? I set my mind on the things that are above. Then he goes on to say, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let's do what the Spirit wants us to do. If God lives in you and the Word of God is prompting you and the Spirit of God is leading you, there should be definite evidence and change in my life. Look at what Colossians says in chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you shall will also appear with Him in glory. So what should I do? Christ is coming one day, and He's coming for me. What should I do? How should I live? Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now, we all know what's earthly in us. That's what we got saved from. We got saved from being sinners, and now we still have a sin nature, but now when we're tempted, we're to put it to death with the Word of God and the knowledge of God and the desire to serve and live for God. So what do I put to death? Notice what he says, and these are the things that plague mankind. Sexual immorality. You know, I'm very happy that we have modern inventions, but the computer can be real dangerous. The phone can be real dangerous. You have to make up your mind to put these things to death. Impurity, put them to death. They don't belong in our lives. Passion, don't belong in our lives. Evil desire, don't belong in our lives. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Oh, my neighbor got a new car. I sure wish I could have that. Actually, I don't wish I could have it because this thing about car payments scares me to death. Know what I mean? I don't want it. But I put it to death. Listen, here's what I've learned. I've got a car that's 10 years, 11 years old, and nobody knows. They all look the same. Why get all wrapped up in the things of this world? And listen, when you die, somebody's going to drive you. Teenage kids going to say, boy, I'm glad Dad left me this car. It's gone. It's all stuff. Now, it's not saying you can't have anything nice. Don't let those things have you. That's the important thing. And then he says, covetousness is idolatry. And on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Now, notice this next verse. In these you too once walked when you were living in him. We were controlled by the passions of our flesh. We were controlled by what I want. I want what I want, what I wanted. But now I want God's will for my life. What does God want me to do? How does he want me to live? And it says in verse 7, in these you once walked. You used to walk that way, but if Christ is your Savior, you now walk by what does the Lord want me to do? How does he want me to live my life? It says, you once walked when you were living in them before Christ came into your life and the Holy Spirit could control your life. But notice in verse 8 of Colossians 3, but now the Spirit of God is in my life. But now you must put them away. Anger, here's what we should be putting away. Is any of your problems? Put them away. The Spirit of God will enable you. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Have you ever heard somebody say, excuse my French? I tell them, I don't speak French. And we ought not either. We should control what comes out of our lips. It's very, very important. Put them away. Then he goes on in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. I put it off. Then what it says, well, when I put it off, I do something else. Verse 10, and have put on the new self. The Holy Spirit is now in control of my life. I'm going to live differently by the power of God. I've learned the Word of God, and I can put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. And then he goes on and says in verse 11, here there is not Greek or Jew or circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Here's what it is. There's no one-upmanship in the body of Christ. We all belong to Jesus. We're all sinners saved by grace. That's how we define ourselves. We needed salvation. We needed forgiveness. We needed the Holy Spirit. And anybody who comes to the Lord, he'll not cast out. And we are one. And if you are a brother in Christ or you're a sister in Christ, we're all related. And that's what God is saying. Colossians 3:12. He says, not only should we put on the new self, but then here's how we do it. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, here's what we should put on. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And so it's very, very important that we put these things on. Now, there are babes in Christ, and they're growing, and they may not get it perfect, but they ought to be growing in grace. They ought to be growing in the way they serve the Lord. They ought to be maturing one with the other. And then they ought to begin to understand what it is to be filled with the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Galatians 3:13, bearing with one another. And if you ever complain against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So the Lord has forgiven. If you find that you can't forgive your brother and sister in Christ, how confident are you that Christ has forgiven you? That's an important question. If I harbor bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in my heart, that's a sign that I'm not under control of the Spirit of God. And maybe it's a sign I need the Spirit of God. So I need to ask those questions. In 1 John 3:24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. When the Spirit of God convicts me of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and my behavior changes and lines up with the Word of God, that's an indicator that I've put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've trusted him, and the Spirit of God has come to live within my heart. So what are some of the indications that I've given my heart to the Lord? I sense the presence of God. I study the Word of God. I seek the things above and not the things below. And here's the next one. I show the love of God. We live in a pretty broken world. How should I respond to things that happen? 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. But notice this next line. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That ought to wake us up a little bit. You know, I do a lot of counseling with couples, and the biggest trouble couples have is their mouths. They say things they shouldn't say to each other. They hurt each other. And we're commanded in Scripture, bless those who curse you, bless and curse not. Did you hear what that said? Bless those who curse you, bless and curse not. So when I'm with a husband and wife and they're fighting, you know, and I can't get along, well, she does this, she does this, he does this, he does. I said, whoa, whoa. I'll show you how to solve that problem real quick. When your wife says something that hurts you, that's God's command for you to be a blessing to her that day. What'd you say? That's God's command for you to bless her. Bless those who curse you, bless and hurt not. When your husband says a harsh word, you should immediately restrain your talking and say, God, how am I to be a blessing to him today? I guarantee you, I've been married 52 years. It works. It's a wonderful thing. I'm going for 53. It's so good. God wants to bless you. And he blesses you by not returning insult for insult or evil for evil, but instead giving a blessing. That's how it should be with all people. We should be known as the most kind-hearted people in the world. It says in John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know who? God. Why? Because God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest among us. We have experienced the love of Christ, and then God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Do you think we were pure and holy and sinless when Christ died for us? No, we were wretched, poor, blind, naked, and yet the Lord himself died on our behalf. And then he says, I want you to love people and be a blessing to them. And you say, well, you don't know who I know. Yes, he does. And he knows you. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then it says in verse 12, no one has seen God and has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. There's a testimony of the Spirit of God living in us. God abides in us. And his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that God, that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now, a confession without a change is not a true confession. If you confess that Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is your Savior, and it does absolutely nothing to your life, that's not a true confession. A true confession, when you put your faith in the Lord, it changes you. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And when he is the Lord, you say, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do, and I will live the way you want me to live. 1 John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Here it is. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. You say, how do I know I'm saved? Well, because you're able to live in a broken, crooked world. You're able even to be mistreated and unkindly treated and yet express the love of Christ. That only comes when the Spirit of God is in control of your life. And this is what God is calling us to do. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. You will never fear going to hell. You will know that the Spirit has directed your life. You will know that God is in control. You will know that he'll keep his word and take you to glory when you die. Why? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And so here's what he says very clearly. We love him because he first loved us. And that's how we're able to love other people, because the love of Christ is in my heart. 1 John 4:20 says it this way. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If we are bitter, angry people, how does the love of God abide within us? We must love people. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Notice why. Since love covers the multitude of sins. What's that mean? It means I know that when someone hurts me, they're sinners. And I can still love them despite what took place to me. And I can return a blessing even when somebody does something evil. Because what did God do for me? I was a wretched sinner, poor, blind, naked, rebellious against God. And Jesus Christ died on the cross and forgave me and accepted me in the beloved. And I can love people with the love of Christ because I've experienced the love of Christ. I used to teach a Bible study in Marwood at my aunt's house for 20 plus years. And she came from an Italian family. And her father used to tell them as he was raising his children, the number of children in the house, and he would say to his children, we must love one another. We must love one another. She caught on. And we need to catch on. We must love one another because we have experienced in our hearts the love of Christ. I sense the presence of God. Your life changes. Your purpose changes. Your thinking changes. I study the Word of God. I hide it in my heart that I might walk a victorious and holy life. I seek the things above and not the things on earth. The things on earth are temporal. The things above are eternal. I want to know how to please Him, how to share Christ with others. I want to know how to do things that honor God. And then I show the love of God. There's a lot of brokenness in the world, but there's a lot of people who show the love of God. And that showing of the love of God touches lives and people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants me to do. And if I'm doing these things, not out of a legalistic mode, but out of a love of the Lord, out of the grace that's been received, I've received when I accepted Christ, that's when His Spirit is witnessing with my spirit. And I know, whereby I cry, Abba, Father, I truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's live that way. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to live out our faith in such a way that is recognizable in this broken, fallen world and recognizable in our own life. I believe in Jesus. I put my faith in Him. I will live according to His dictates. He is my Savior and He is my Sovereign. Lord, be honored in my life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.